stay out there with the forces that I can see building up against it. On the other hand, I don't see exactly the medium for pulling out. And I think that what I'll do is I won't talk to you, and I'll probably talk to McCormick. Rusk doesn't know that I'm thinking this. McNamara doesn't know I'm thinking this. Bundy doesn't. I haven't talked to him, and I'm over here in bed. I just tried to take a nap, get going for my second day, and I couldn't. I just decided I'd call you. But I think I'll say to the Congress that, General Eisenhower, I thought we ought to go in here and do here what we in effect did in Greece and Turkey and so forth. And the Congress thought that we ought to have the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. We passed it 82-1. And President Kennedy thought we ought to do this. And he sent these people in here. And I have thought that we ought to stay there. But all of my military people tell me, and my economic people, that we cannot do this. To the extent of the commitment we have now, it's got to be materially increased, and the outcome is not really predictable at the moment. I don't think I'd use that language, but I would say something that unless we have further augmentation, we cannot be secure. Our 75,000 men are going to be in great danger unless they have 75,000 more. My judgment is, and I'm no military man at all, but I study it every day and every night, and I read the cables. I look back over what's happened in the last 2 years, or the last four, really. And if they get 150, they'll have to have another 150. And then they'll have to have another 150. So the big question then is, what does the Congress want to do about it under these circumstances? I know what the military wants to do. I really know what I think Rusk and McNamara want to do. And Bundy. But I'm not sure. And I think I know what the country wants to do now, but I'm not sure that they want to do that 6 months from now. Right. And I want you to give me your best thinking on it and see how we ought to handle it. If we handle it at all, what we ought to do.
Well, you, since our last conversation, I've been doing some thinking.
Yeah.
And doing some writing.
Well, we have, since Taylor left out there, some very bad news on the government. It's not decisive news. It could go either way, but he thought he had it patched up. But the Catholics are kicking overboard, and they're using this little president to cause trouble. And he can't get them to. Westmoreland says that the offensive that he has anticipated, that he's been fearful of, is now on. And he wants people as quickly as he can get them. The Dominican thing is relatively quiet. We think that we did all we could do and exactly what we should have done, and in retrospect we wouldn't change it a bit, but there's been grave doubts cast on it here and around the world, and I'm hoping that we can get the OAS to assume some more of the military. We're begging every country. We're going to get a few more from Paraguay. but they're not going to be a handful. I'm also hoping we can get them to assume some of the political. It's my judgment we're really going to ultimately have to tell them what to do, because they're paper. They don't take much action. And they tell you what not to do instead of what to do. And I think that we have a very precarious situation there. And all of our people do, but in deference to the opinions of mankind, well, we are trying to, we don't want to upset the French or the British and the rest of them, and we're going to try to let the OAS handle it any way in the world, in God's world, they will. We've given them the best man that we know to give them, to give them advice, but my judgment is it's going to cost us $300-400 million. We're finally going to have to say, here's Mike Mansfield or Lyndon Johnson that we'll recognize as president. And he's not a Trujilloite, or he's not a communist, but he's a moderate, and we'll recognize him until you have election. And you have election as they were scheduled in 1966. And we'll have a way to supervise them, and you may get a communist government out of it. We hope not. I was a little bit distressed. Our economic aid got whacked some last year, and we asked this year. We haven't got our other, but we have felt that you all felt we ought to be doing a little more that way, and Bill Fulbright's been rather insistent, as you know, that we're not doing enough in that direction. A lot of our folks thought we ought to be talking development and negotiation more than war. But I was a little bit distressed that fellows, the many Republicans voted against us did yesterday, and particularly men like George Akin. Do you think it, does he think it, what's his thinking? I haven't seen it, I haven't heard it. I just saw it on the ticker.
Oh, he thinks it's too late. And he's tremendously disturbed about the situation in Vietnam. And it's,
well, we all are.
I know, but I mean, really, and he's made some strong statements, and he just feels it's been a little too late, and it's tied in with the $700 million, and I think he's thinking along that line.
He doesn't think we ought to be doing it. It would be better not to do it, that is thinking?
Yeah, that it should have been done before, not now. It's a little bit too late, but it's that's too late, too. But it's in the bill.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, we've had a relatively stable government for 90 days, and we had hoped that we could see that for another few months that would permit some of these things. But unless you can guard what you're doing, you can't do anything. We can't build an airport, by God, much less build an REA line. And it takes more people to guard us than building an airport than it does to build the airport. And the same thing's true. We could use hundreds of millions on economic projects if we could get them built. That's why we had to limit it to just 3 or 4 REA projects and one little dam and things of that kind.
Some people seem to think that we're just building it for the Viet Cong to take over.
Well, it could very well be. It could very well be. But I had the feeling from the way Bill Fulbright talked, I don't know whether I sensed it or not, that the feeling on the Hill was that we ought to be doing more of that, and that might be a better answer than the bomb.
Well, there is that feeling. How widespread it is hard to say. But there's a feeling of apprehension and suspense up here that's pretty hard to define, and it's pretty widespread on both sides.
Well, we have it here.
I know you do. It's worse.
Do you have any thoughts about the approach that we might make to the Congress, whether one is wise, and if so, how?
Well, if you make another approach to the Congress, I think really the roof will blow off this time, because people who have remained quiet will no longer remain silent, and I think it would be too much of the same thing being applied too soon, one after the other. If got the resolution. Now you got the $700 million. Now you got the Mekong thing. This come up, I think you'd be in for some trouble. The debate could split right out.
Well, I think you might have got to have the debate, though, hadn't you?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that we ought to send all these troops without a debate?
No, sir. I think that we've got too many in there now, and we've been bombing the north without any appreciable results showing for us in the south. I think that this thing has got to be settled in the south some way. It's not a question of withdrawal. It's not a question of bombing Hanoi or Haiphong. It's just something that's going to take a lot of consideration, a lot of concentration in the south, and something to be done to try and revive, as I know you're trying to, the proposed Sihanouk for a Cambodian conference dealing with Cambodia only.
But what do we do about his request for more men? Don't we have to, if it assumes the proportions that I can see it assuming, shouldn't we say to the Congress, what do you want to do about it?
Well, I would be hate to be the one to say it, because as you said earlier, it's 75,000, then it's 150,000, then it's 300,000. Where do you stop?
You don't.
When
that's
do
right.
You stop?
You don't. I mean, if you, it looks like to me, I don't see where the, to me, it's shaping up like this, Mike. You either get out or you get in. I don't think there's much more neutral. I think we've tried all the neutral things, and we think they are winning. Now, if we think they're winning, you can imagine what they think.
Yes, they know they're winning.
And if they know that, you can see that they're not anxious to find any answer to it.
That's right.
Now, what do we do under those circumstances? We seem to have tried everything that we know to do. I stayed here for over a year when they were urging us to bomb before I'd go beyond the line. I have stayed away from their industrial targets and their civilian population, although they urge you to do it.
Yeah, but Hanoi now, and Haiphong are stripped clean and have been for months. And you bomb them, you get nothing. You just build up more hatred. You get these people tied more closely together because they are tied by blood, whether from the north or the south.
I think that's true, and I think that you've done nearly everything that you can do except make it a complete white man's war.
And if you do that, then you might as well say goodbye to all of Asia and to most of the world.
Well, I think that's probably, I think that's right. Therefore, where do you go?
Well, you don't go ahead, because if you do, then you revive your figures of what happens when you confront China. You don't pull out. You try to do something to consolidate your position in South Vietnam. And that may take more troops. It certainly will take more Vietnamese, I think,
They're getting more of them in, Mike, but they're going out the other end. They're just
right.
They're deserting just like flies.
When McNamara speaks about 300,000 American troops against Jop's 31 divisions in North Vietnam, that's the absolute minimum.
Yes, he knows that.
When he speaks about 160,000 being increased through conscription in the Vietnamese army, he knows he isn't telling the truth, because they're not coming. As you say, they're in and they're out.
Well, they have been coming, but he thinks he's telling the truth, because the government assures him they'll stop him, but they can't do it. And the government goes under trying to do it, just like that's what happened to Reed in the Dominican Republic. He's trying to have an honest government, trying to get rid of the generals, and he did too much of it. And what's happening out there, Quad is trying to, his enlistments are up and have been going well. But they just go out of the bottom of it, and they haven't been able to find a way to have a government strong enough to stop the desertions. That's what Taylor told us this morning. I don't know quite how to approach this, Mike.